Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us online at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Social media, Facebook, we're there. Real Ghost Stories Online. Just look us up there. And on other social media channels, I always have to have my little cheat sheet to us. Varies from thing to thing. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, Snapchat at Ghost Podcast. We are streaming this episode live to everyone on Facebook right now. A little bit in advance of it actually going live on the podcast feed. But if you're watching us on Facebook, feel free to post your questions up there in the comment section and in between stories. I will stop by and we will read them. And Jenny Brusky is here as well. There she is, Tony and Jenny Brusky, joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well. You have a lovely wall behind you.
You like it?
I do.
Have you gotten used to it?
I have gotten used to it, yes. It's picture frames of people that we've found out were deceased, and we took their pictures out and then put them up on the wall. And now, you know, in hopes that maybe they haunt the studio. That's kind of the goal, right?
No. No, not at all.
Not quite?
It's a collection of thrift store frames.
Uh-huh.
$23 for all of them.
It looks lovely.
Thank you.
We'll be talking more about that in your program that's in the works right now, Junkin' with Jenny. That's part of the background for both shows.
It is.
When we talked about what are we going to do, put in the backdrop, like we should do a big ghost story logo or what, and I thought, well, let's do something that kind of fits both, because Antiquey and Junkin' with Jenny is that. And it's also this show. If you put a ghost story logo on it, it's exclusively this show. But I figured, you know, and you came up with the idea for how to do this. And I said, make something that'll work for both. And here you go.
Thank you.
So, cool stuff. And like I said, we'll have more on her show in the coming weeks and months as we get ready to get that launched. And I'm playing with lighting and everything as well. And I think I need a light over here for you as well.
Think so.
You're kind of in the shadows.
Okay.
Like, you're like half shadow person.
Half shadow person. Okay.
Half shadow person. Let's, in today's episode, let's talk about what's on it. A garage is unwelcoming to a listener as it still seems to be the territory of the deceased previous owner. A listener finds that ghost children seem to be drawn to him. Something does not like the game that's being played in the cemetery, and a woman fights away a creature that tries to enter her mouth during sleep paralysis. That's interesting.
Yeah.
A creature.
Yeah.
Not like a spider?
No, no.
It's something that...
Think hairless cat.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to think about that. That's kind of...
terrible.
Disturbing and creepy. So, all right. Excited for those stories. And again, since we are live on Facebook, when I screw up the spelling, the reading of the words... there's no stopping and going, hey, what the hell was that? And then, repausing and re-recording.
Right.
So you guys get to see it all unfold live here on the program today. 855-853-4802 is our program, or is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to call in your stories. Go to our first one. Scott says, we moved to New Zealand 4 years ago from the USA, to the city of Wellington. After 2 years in the city, we decided to head up to the Kapiti Coast, to a town called Wakanee, for some more outdoor beach lifestyle. Unfortunately, after we had gotten there, we found out that the town was nicknamed God's Waiting Room. It was a big retirement community, but up and coming with families. To put it another way, the funeral home is very busy. We got a lot of bang for our buck being out of the city, and the home was an incredible lodge-style home built in the 1800s. The original couple built it as a retirement project. The husband, however, passed away, and the wife spent her remaining days there until she was put into a nursing home where the children sold the property. The house remained empty for a good year until the new owners bought it and rented it to us. Within 1 month of living there on May 1st, I felt a presence in the garage with me. I'm open to the paranormal, but have never experienced anything before. The garage was a custom-built garage with a whole other workshop area with a handcrafted workbench area. You could tell the previous owner spent a lot of time and effort. I've worked in many garages throughout my lifetime on my cars, but this presence made the hair stand up on my back. Made me feel like I was not welcome. Upon exiting the garage, the door slammed behind me. It wasn't windy out, no other doors opened, and I immediately opened the door back up into pitch blackness and inspected to make sure no one was in there. It just didn't make sense how the door would slam like that, as it wasn't shut far enough to get sucked out. And the velocity was different. It's like someone pushed it hard. The slam was frame-shaking. Being open to these things didn't really scare me, but rather intrigued me. July 1st at 4 a.m., night footsteps and banging happened on the stairs. The master bedroom shares a wall with the stairs and has a secret compartment in the walk-in that holds an under-stair room filled with old baby cradles and shag carpet from the previous owners. Though there isn't much crime at all in New Zealand, the American dad and me jumped out of bed to inspect who was in our house. I grabbed a flashlight and went exploring with 10 seconds of the sound. The wife still slept. I journeyed upstairs to find both kids fast asleep in their beds. I continued a full house search, checked all windows and doors, and went back to my bed and laid awake the rest of the night. July 12th. There's another secret compartment door in the kitchen leading up to the attic space. The house was a little odd in the layout. You could tell the previous owners designed it themselves. Rooms where they shouldn't be, and you could get lost very easily. One calm, warmer night, the door to the attic popped open while I was in the kitchen. A brush of cold air and a chill down my spine. I felt like someone was on top of me. It was a strange feeling, something I've never felt before. This happened a few more times randomly. July 13th at 5 a.m., I got up to go to the bathroom while passing the bottom step of the staircase. It sounded like somebody stomped on the stairs 2 steps up. This wasn't a normal house creak of wood, and there was nobody awake but me. I also checked for any earthquakes in the area the next day with no positive results. Back to 5 a.m., me being groggy, I double-checked the kids' room again, and no one was awake. I went back to my bed with our door shut but not latched. Wife still asleep, staring at the ceiling, wondering what the large bang was. At that point, I knew something was trying to get my attention. Just as I was thinking that, our bedroom door swung open, slowly, as it does when there's a kid awake and entering. I waited for it to open fully, called out both our boys' names quietly with no answer. I jumped up and saw no one. I went directly upstairs and both kids were sound asleep. There was no drafts that I could feel, no windows opened. The next evening, I smelled tobacco smoke in the bathroom. Our neighbors are not close and no one smokes in our house, and no one had been out in a public smoking area to make the smell that strong. July 31st, I was in the garage packing for a market, and I had one more thing to pack and was looking around the room, saying aloud to myself, "What am I missing?" A large banner, which was leaning sideways on the wall, tipped over the other way, hitting all the hanging wrenches, making everything swing. At that point, I just said aloud, "Thanks," as that was a missing piece that I had forgotten. At this point, I felt there was something there with us. I didn't want to tell my 4- and 6-year-old boys, it's not to scare them. As I tell them, monsters are definitely not real, and please stop waking me up when it rains. It made me laugh because every time something happened, my wife wasn't there or she was asleep. Her not believing in this sort of thing and not interested, she rolled her eyes. I'd talk about things that would happen. Some of our retired neighbors came over to talk, and I ended up asking them about any strange happenings around their house to explain ours. The husband said yes. He has a few instances of ghostly happenings, and the wife slapped his arm as if to shush him. I tried to get more out of him, but he was zip-lipped after the boss had spoken. This made me laugh again as I felt in another bad move where you just can't get answers and nobody believes you. The activity in our house, I believe, was the deceased husband who built the house, as I always got a feeling of someone chasing me out of the garage whole 15 months that we lived there. Not to mention the bedroom activity and the smoking smell. Not sure if he smoked, but a lot of New Zealanders smoke. The non-smoking thing has not caught on here like it has in the USA. I get a picture in my head of a small girl, though screaming at me and acting wild like a beast, though charging me to get out of the garage the whole time I lived there. I really couldn't tell if it was bad or good or maybe a mix. It did help me with the banner, but the feeling in the garage was not good. A man is supposed to love his garage. I ended up not wanting to go in to mine, especially at night. We did find an old camera with the film still inside the closet of that home. I remembered the haunted object stories. I took it out and made an open, loud conversation to my wife so everybody would hear that we were going to send it to the remaining living owner, who was in a care facility. Perhaps some old family photos were on there. Maybe something her husband wanted her to see. After I did that, the strange occurrences stopped. And after a yell in the garage, that this is my garage now and you're dead, so get out. I know you're not supposed to taunt ghosts, but something firmly and directly had to be said. So are all these occurrences explainable? I do admit I find the whole ghost thing very interesting and would gladly welcome any activity. However, after about a month of it being at my home, it started to take me over. I don't want it there anymore. The presence in the garage was a bit freaky, and I'm glad we are gone and moved. But now, will the memory of it all be truth or just the wind? Be entertaining to hear your thoughts, Dylan.
I think it's just a territorial ghost that was probably not real happy about his home being sold to somebody else. And, you know, even if he knows he's dead, he might still be very territorial.
So do you think it's all just one thing in the house or more than one territorial ghost?
I kind of think it's just one, but I'm not sure about what he meant by it started to take him over. Did he start to feel like it was trying to possess him? Because then that's something else. But this kind of persnickety old ghost that doesn't like stuff in his garage, who will help you find something if it means you're going to get out of there quicker. That doesn't sound at all like something that's going to do something bad, like take over.
Yeah, I mean, I almost wonder if it's like kind of like the two ghosts, like one's protecting from the other. Yeah. If there is something else there. And it's like, let's help you, you know, help you out.
Right.
So
let's help you get your stuff and go.
Yeah, exactly. Before something else comes in. Thank you for the story and sharing that with us. Greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hello to everyone watching us on Facebook Live right now. Cisco, Felisa, Carolyn, Nora, Amber, Matthias, Jerry, David, Claudette. There's many more, and I'm just going to go on a laundry list of names, and I think everybody will be like, shut up and get to a story. So I'll continue with that. Thank you, guys. Any questions you have on Facebook Live, feel free to post them, and I do monitor that between the stories. When Jenny talks about what happened in the story, I'll pretend I'm listening, but I'm really going to be reading your guys' stuff and then come back with a nice little and nod and act like I understood everything you said.
I know.
That's how that's going to work.
The game goes both ways.
Exactly. So there you go. Let's go to our next story. Dylan says, I am not sensitive despite my intense interest in finding proof of the paranormal. I consider myself a hopeful skeptic. Over the past few years, I've gone on ghost hunts at several very haunted places, including Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Tinker, Swiss Cottage in Rockford, Illinois. This is a place where Taps visited and had some strange experiences, and even Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Kentucky. This was where my only potential ghost experience occurred. For those who don't know, Waverly Hills was used as a tuberculosis hospital during the early 1900s. It's a massive building with multiple floors. On one side, there's a long hallway that faces windows without glass. This is where patients would be rolled out in their beds to get fresh air. While this setup made sense in terms of the limited medical knowledge of the time, it makes ghost hunting a bit tricky because you can hear all sorts of sounds and things from outside because the windows are fully open. I went to Waverly in 2012 with a group of friends, including several who operate their own paranormal investigation group in Wisconsin. Going with real ghost hunters meant we had access to professional equipment. It also meant we're going to take things seriously. Before we entered each room, we would use equipment to mark electromagnetic fields as well as reflective surfaces that might cause us to see something. We also did not use flashlights. It's amazing how well your eyes adjust to the dark using ambient light. Overall, we're going to make the most of the trip. We spent time in the entire building, and while it was very creepy to be in an old building where many people spent their last moments after dark, I didn't experience anything. At one moment, my friends and I were sitting in a hallway on the first floor where people reported seeing full-bodied apparitions along with feelings of dread. We sat down and attempted an EVP session. I was sitting next to my friend Jesse at the time. He was on my left, and he started taking video and snapping pictures of something off to my right. He said he was seeing a shadow figure. I looked, and I saw nothing. I felt nothing. I was apparently sitting right next to some sort of paranormal being, and I experienced nothing. Well, that moment really shook up my friend. Later in the night, we moved to an upper floor of the building that was supposed to be haunted by a child spirit named Timmy. We decided to attempt an experiment that none of us had done before, which we were somewhat skeptical about. We referred to it as the flashlight experiment, which anyone who watches Ghost Hunters show is probably familiar with. For the experiment, we took a flashlight that you had to twist the head to turn it on or off. We twisted it so it was in between off and on, so no light was shining from it. We then set it down on the floor in the hallway where Timmy was said to reside, and we walked to the other side of the hallway to make sure we didn't accidentally interfere with the light. While we were getting situated, the light remained off. We then took turns asking questions. We went one by one and asked random questions, telling any ghosts that might be around to turn on the light, once for yes and twice for no. Nothing happened, until I asked if there was a child present. The light turned on briefly and then turned back off. Someone else asked a question, but nothing happened. I had been the only person to get any responses to my question, so I was asked to continue asking things. Every time I spoke, I got a direct answer through the flashlight. No one else had as much luck as I did that night. I'm not going to lie, I had my heart pounding, but after about 15 minutes of this experiment, we decided to end it. I asked to go get the flashlight because I wanted to debunk a few things. The flashlight was still flickering on and off as I walked down the hall with one of my friends, but it was off by the time we got to it. To determine whether any airflow or wind could have made the light turn on, I got down to my knees and blew directly on the flashlight. Nothing happened. Then we tried stomping on the ground around the flashlight to see if vibrations of some sort could have caused it to turn on and off. Nothing happened. That was the weirdest unexplained potential paranormal experience I've ever had. And the kicker is that children love me. They've always seemed oddly drawn to me. And if this experiment showed me anything, it is that might also hold true for child spirits.
I kind of wonder why the child spirit was attracted to him if he's not sensitive. You know, I kind of feel like it's, if they can't, you know, pick up on that and see your light or whatever, why would they be drawn to you versus somebody else in the group who is sensitive?
I don't know. I was almost wondering when we were talking about it. I was thinking how we talk about people, the living, and some having a sensitivity that is, you know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, and the nines, 8, 9s, and 10s, able to really pick up and almost interact directly with the spirit. The ones and twos feel kind of eerie, and everything in between, it's kind of a mixture.
Right.
I'm wondering if there's something on the other side with the ghosts, if they, if there's the same scale there as far as how they can hear us or interact with us. Maybe not all the time they can see us or interact with us. You know, it's almost like we talk about sometimes, you know, they're walking on floors and levels that don't exist anymore.
Sure.
And it's kind of on their own plane of existence. So could that be the same where only certain ones of them have the ability to really interact back and forth with us? And maybe there's something with him in the ghost hunting story that he could, the child could pick up that interaction, but couldn't hear or pick up what the other people were saying. Almost kind of reversed it.
I could see that. And it's, you know, it's something we're never going to know.
Yeah. Oh, we'll know. We'll find out.
But we won't be able to relay back then.
That's true. I do plan on being the first ghost to have a podcast, though.
Okay.
So it will be, it'll just be kind of screwing with other people's podcasts because it'll probably be way too difficult to, like, fill in all the information.
Sure.
You know, but if I can somehow screw with other people's audio, like, is that an EVP on like the most random of shows? It'll be like shows about cats, you know, it's and just things that are not at all really spooky. Also, I'll just be saying really bizarre shit on there. And they'd be like, oh, my God, that's that guy that hosted that ghost show all those years ago.
Yeah.
He's saying all sorts of strange things. So there you go. Let your grandchildren know that's coming up several years from now, hopefully. But there you go. Everyone can be aware of the future broadcasts that I will attempt. Do you want to join me and screw it with people? Or?
No, you're plenty good at that by yourself.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. One of our listeners asking, will this be loaded onto YouTube? Hopefully, that is going to be part of the goal here. This is kind of a test run with this new setup. So I do plan on trying to keep this file saved and then loading it over to YouTube for viewing again later. But I can't guarantee it because it's just kind of a test run here. Any other questions you have? That lots of people saying hi. There's a gazillion hi. Hi's, and I'd bore everyone to death if I individually said hi to everyone. But hi to everyone that is joining us. We greatly appreciate you tuning in, and feel free to comment on the stories as well as we go through them here today, and we can inject some of that into the conversation as well. Let's go over to Stacy. Stacy says, hello, love the show. Hopefully this is your first Pokemon Go ghost story. Actually, it's not.
It's not.
We've already had one. We have one or two.
I think
one?
At least two.
Okay, at least two. So you're lucky number three on Pokemon Go ghost stories. Do people still do the Pokemon Go? I mean, I know this is, we're a bit behind in.
Right, we're pulling stories from last summer.
So when it was big.
Yeah.
When Pokemon Go was the thing is when this was written. So anyway, my friend and I instantly became obsessed with a cell phone game a few weeks back. And if you aren't familiar with it, most people are like, what the fuck is Pokemon? It can be set up as a scavenger hunt for cartoon creatures that are scattered throughout a real-world map. The game utilizes Google Maps and fuses real-world streets, locations, and historical markers of noteworthy locations being stops where you can collect the game items. To encounter a Pokemon, you visit a marked location on the map in real life and light lures to attract Pokemon. Childish game, but we have discovered that these markers that our town had played a major part in the civil rights movement, something our schools failed to teach us. But anyway, when you encounter a Pokemon on the map, you click on it and you can view the augmented reality on your phone. It utilizes the phone's camera, basically overlays animated Pokemon, much like Ghost Radar. Me and the gang were told that a certain historic graveyard was a hotspot for a rare Pokemon. With a sense of adventure, a few bottles of cheap vodka, and battery packs to keep our cell phones charged, we drove out to the graveyard. It was around 8 p.m. when we got there, and we noticed that there was about six other cars parked by this house not far from the graveyard. So we pulled in behind them, read the marker in the game that told us the house was actually a museum. The caretaker of the museum had decided to take advantage of the adult gamers that were piled out in the driveway and been giving them a history lesson on the location. We walked into the group and listened. To give you a little idea of how popular the game is, he said that we were the 20th group of the day to pull into that location to hear his stories. He was an older man, about 75 years old. He looked like someone's ignored grandpa who enjoyed being able to tell his stories. Anyway, he told us that the location was the spot of a murder and a suicide, a love triangle that had gone horribly wrong. The owners of the house had owned slaves, and a lot of homes in the area were built on top of old slave homes. There was an alleged curse by one of the slaves, and since then, that area had seen lots of death. Fascinating enough, but my friend wanted to hunt Pokemon, so he broke away from the group and walked towards the graveyard. It was an old slave graveyard, very small, with gated fences around it. The tombstones were so abused and destroyed from age and perhaps vandals, you could barely tell it was a graveyard. We sat down on the sidewalk and started playing the game. Within 10 minutes, shit started happening. Brittany's phone went dead, even though it had 80% charge on it. She plugged it into a portable charger. It never came back on. We continued to hear shifting from within the graveyard. There wasn't anything to be seen. Suddenly, we all got excited when the Pokemon we'd been hunting appeared on our screens. We all got rowdy, except for Brittany, who was trying to restart her phone, and that's when I heard it. It sounded like a baby crying in the distance, which we thought could have been a cat in heat or a frog. It got closer and closer. We looked, in the direction it should have been, and there was nothing there. We all exited the game and turned our cell phone lights to look for something, the supposed cat, but nothing was there. Only the cries of what sounded like an upset baby. The harsh, raspy crying to show how dense we were. It finally dawned on us that we were next to a graveyard, and we started joking around. We dismissed it as a frog, but within moments, whatever it was right next to us. I could almost feel the warmth of someone breathing on my right ear. The crying was now accompanied by a buzzing that felt like it was inside of my head. I looked over at my friends who had also been enduring the buzzing and crying, and one yelled, "What the fuck?" And we all briskly made our way back to the car. When we reached the car, Brittany's cell phone turned back on, and it wasn't as if it had crashed or been turned off because it didn't restart. It went right back to the screen she had it on, which was an incomplete text message she was writing to one of her boyfriends. The charge on the phone, however, was at 10%. One of the girls tried to Snapchat the graveyard, but every time she tried to video the graveyard, the app crashed. Whatever it was, didn't want a bunch of people trending on its land. I think treading. We yeah. used the term trending so much, it's now being used incorrectly. Yes.
Right?
We joke about it now, but we refuse to go near that part of town. I'm interested to hear more stories related to the game, especially when it lures players to historic locations that are often darker in nature, this sites of hauntings. With the cell phone activity, battery packs, and energy from these people, I can't imagine how many encounters people have had there.
I think the battery issues and the energy felt is something paranormal. Now, the crying could be an animal. Mm-hmm. I don't really know that that's going to be, you know, a ghost of a baby or anything. It could be. But there's, you know, there's a lot of possibilities there.
It's hard to debunk the crying because that there is a chance that it could be something mm-hmm. natural. But it could be something also being disturbed by whatever they're feeling.
Sure.
Too. And that's the reason for the noise. It's just really hard to know for sure on that. But lots of stories of Pokemon Go leading people to cemeteries and mm-hmm. Having encounters. Now, the Pokemon Go, the characters, and I'm unaware of how this really works, where the Pokemons are, are the locations chosen by the game or the designers and the creators of the game, or is it just kind of random and it just disperses them in random places and then that's where people find them, or how does that work? I don't know the answer to that.
I have no idea.
I mean, it'd be interesting if it is random, you know, is there something that's putting them in certain places or influencing that whole thing? I don't know. It's interesting to think about. If anybody knows the answer to that, feel free to post it on Facebook so we can learn more about Pokemon Go, because I know it's what you've been wanting to.
And if that's even still a thing.
It might. I don't know. I mean, I imagine it kind of exists somewhere.
I don't know.
Someplace. I don't know. Cisco says, decided to go ahead and write a book. It's getting ready to come out. Writing it with Steve Stockton. There will be Jinners, Jumpers, Flying Heads, and of course, the Snot Witch.
Awesome.
Would love to come and talk about it with you guys. Yes, Cisco, of course, we'd love to have you on to talk about that book. And feel free to email us about that, and we can arrange that. And we can hear about that. The Snot Witch was a great story.
It was.
I'd love to, that'd be fun. It's been so long since we've heard that. And I think a good portion of our audience probably has never heard it because mm-hmm. it was way back on a very, very early episode of the show. So that'd be fun to talk about here on a more current episode. There's so many stories that we had at the beginning that, you know, people ask about and have never actually heard.
Mm-hmm.
I think this summer, you know, when we have a couple days off here and there and we're doing, some encore episodes, I'm going to try and pull like super old ones.
Okay.
Like way from the beginning and put them in there, you know, and intersperse some of the really, really old ones from the beginning so people can hear them. I know, like I've rerun some of the interview original ones, like with The Conjuring and mm-hmm. Amityville and that sort of stuff. Those kind of go into common rotation for the best of episodes. But I'm just going to grab some of the original us.
Sure.
And hope for the best. And we can go, what the hell's wrong with the show? It sounds so bad.
Yeah.
Because it's so old. I don't know. I haven't really listened to any of the old shows. I don't know how different it sounded back then. to how we sound now because it's been so long since I've listened to any of them. But there you go. We'll do that this summer. Katrina writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My story is about what people call sleep paralysis. But first, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And ever since I can remember, even as a young kid, I've always had sleep paralysis and have been able to astral travel in my dreams. I visited family in Central America and been to places I can only dream of, no pun intended. Soaring through buildings as I'm traveling and looking down, seeing rooftops and people until reaching my destination. This is not the only gift I have. I also have vivid dreams of what is forthcoming, either a death, a birth, or life changes within my family and friends, or for my personal life, some good and some not so good. Like the dreams that foretell a natural disaster, but those I'll write into you about in another email. So back to my latest sleep paralysis incident, which took place about 2 years ago in an apartment I was living in while I was in Burbank, California. Now, this was a one-bedroom apartment with wooden floors, and I was living there with my son, who was 8 at the time, who I had dropped off at school earlier that morning. So I was the only one home and had about 1 hour more of sleep left before I had to start getting ready for work. So I decided to take full advantage and hopped back into bed. I'm a very light sleeper. It has its pros and cons here in the earthquake capital. Anyway, I had probably been asleep for about 20 to 30 minutes when I suddenly started hearing a sound coming from the living room and what seemed like footsteps coming towards the room where I was. Mind you, my apartment was a bottom apartment, and above me lived an older gentleman who would always leave for work early in the morning and who I would see leave as I took my son to school. So I knew he was not home. And the sound was not coming from upstairs, but was from my living room. I kept my eyes closed and was just listening to the footsteps coming, and then I heard the creak the floors make whenever my son or I would step by the door frame of the room. And that's when I started to panic, thinking it was an intruder. I naturally wanted to open my eyes and jump out of bed, but I couldn't move. I was paralyzed and unable to move my arms or legs, and when I tried opening my eyes, I couldn't. It was like they were glued shut. So I knew exactly what was happening at that moment since I had experienced it plenty of times before. As I was trying to figure out how I was going to get myself out of that situation, I felt something jump from the floor to my bed and walk from my feet to my stomach. And it felt like, kind of like when a cat jumps on the bed and slowly makes its way up to you. You can feel the paws and its weight on you. And I freaked out. I started praying and asking God to please remove whatever was on me. And as I'm doing that, I get a vision in my mind's eye as if my eyes were wide open, but I knew they were not. And in my vision, I can clearly see what was on me making its way up my chest. As I'm looking around, the colors in the room are gone. Everything is exactly as they should be, but there was no color in the room. Everything was gray. Now I look back at this creature, and I kid you not, it looked like a freaking gremlin, like the ugly one from the Gremlin movie. And its skin looked like the hairless cat's, with bits and pieces of fur here and there. Then it realized I could see it, and it rushes up to my chest, and it comes so close to my face that I realize it was trying to get inside my mouth. I grabbed it with my hands. I could feel its skin in my hands and its force and strength trying to push itself inside of my mouth, and we struggled. My eyes closed, my mouth closed, and my hands gripping this creature, and I swear all the fear in me went away, and I started praying and cursing this thing and saying I was stronger than it was because I have God on my side, and it felt like 10 to 15 minutes of struggle as I kept getting angrier and I started to squeeze it harder. I could feel my nails digging in its skin, and suddenly, poof, it was gone. I was no longer holding on to anything. My eyes suddenly opened and they felt as if I had rubbed them with chili powder. Blurry for a few seconds until my vision returned to normal. And I bolted out of bed looking for this thing in my room, and it was empty. I ran out to the living room, and it's also empty, as if nothing had happened, and my apartment was in silence. Needless to say, I ran back to my room, changed clothes, didn't even brush my teeth, grabbed my bag and keys, and left for work. It took me a few days to come back to the apartment. My son and I stayed at my mother's house just until I was able to have the courage to sleep there again. My mother was very understanding, as she's been my biggest supporter and believer and witness in everything I've seen since I was a child. This experience really shook me because, for the first time ever, something tried to get inside of me, and I touched it and fought it back. I wonder what would have happened to me if I wouldn't have fought back and got inside of me. I hope I never find out or never have to have anything like that ever again. Thanks for your time. Sorry if this was so long, but I had to share with you guys since it's never left my mind and still I think about it to this day. Again, thanks for taking the time to read my story. I have many more written down in my journals. Yes, I've kept journals of each and every dream and experience I have had. Sincerely, Karina.
What I think might be the scariest part of the story is I don't think it was sleep paralysis.
Okay.
I think something paranormal was trying to attack her because she was able to fight it off.
It's like the sleep paralysis broke.
Yeah.
I mean, and once you're in that state and it's actually breaking and you are physically moving and you're awake and things are going on, it's no longer sleep paralysis at that point, is it?
And usually whatever is attacking you disappears.
Yeah.
Because you're fully awake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I could see that it was potentially something very much real going on. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear more of those stories that she has journaled, so feel free to send those in. Question, Sheila says, hey, Tony, do you guys get stories about the suicide forest in Japan? I've seen a movie about it, and it's super creepy.
One, a long time ago, we had a story.
It's been a while.
And I don't really remember...
Details
on it, because I want to say it was not the last office, but the office before that, just to put it in a timeline.
Sure.
But we've heard about it. You know, I couldn't even begin to tell you what episode that was, though.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I'd like, Sheila, what movie was it? I'd be curious about, do you recall a movie about
it's
it?
It's called The Forest.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And is it a documentary or is it a real movie?
It's a movie, horror movie.
But it's based on...
A real place.
A real place.
Yeah.
Is that the forest that's, is it the one that's, I'm trying to think. What's the story behind it? Do you even know the story behind it?
I don't know,
to talk about it?
I don't know why people go there to commit suicide, but it's like people go there and like, I want to say quarterly, they have people go in and just walk this thing inch by inch to find the bodies because like a couple hundred people will do it there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's called The Forest. Okay, yes. Yeah, and you already said that.
So I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know it's like a real problem.
Well, that's so I wonder. I would imagine we probably will have more stories on that over the years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just considering what type of things are going on there. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go over to Amanda. It says, hi there, my name's Amanda. I'm from Taunton, Massachusetts. Love your show, and I listen while I'm at work. A few stories I'll try to get to, some of them today, if I can. The story is personal, and I can't call in to tell it because I always end crying. This is a sensitive subject, as to do with my younger brother who passed away at 14, and I was 17 at the time of my little brother's death. He had CP, cerebral palsy. I found him passed away in his bed. As you can imagine, I was not in great shape the weeks after his death. I was very close to him. His death still gets me to this day. I still cry as if he just passed away yesterday. The day after his funeral, I started to walk to my room. I must walk past his room first to get to mine. For some reason, I stopped dead in my tracks. Right in front of the door, the hair on the back of my neck stood up along with my arm hairs. I see him in shadow form looking through the nurse log. Keep in mind, he was in a wheelchair when he was alive. I just stood there in disbelief. I blinked and he was gone. I entered the room, went over to the nurse log. It was opened. I knew it was closed as I was the one that placed it in his dresser the night before. It was open to where his med list was and the diagnosis was. I was in shock. I sat down on the floor in his room and cried. I felt a hand on my shoulder and a warm sensation run through my entire body. I knew it was him telling me to stop. I did stop crying, got up off the floor, and left that room knowing that he was at peace and okay. Pete was a well-loved little boy that would light up a room and warm your soul. I have one more story that isn't so sad, I promise. I believe I'm sensitive to some things. I also know my three-year-old is. He knew my brother's name at 2 years old. I never showed him a picture of my brother or told him his name. We're at my mom's house, and he walks to my brother's picture and says, hi, Uncle Pete. I asked him, how do you know that? I asked my mom if she said anything to him, and she said no. She was in just as much shock as me. He says he plays with my mama. I just smiled and said, oh. Then he comes over to me and whispers, I love you, Amanda. I said, what? He says, Pete said that. I was a little freaked out and just left it alone. My son only knows me as Mommy, not the nickname I was called at 17. I have so many stories. I'll tell you one more, as it freaks me out anytime I think about it. I can read palms and tarot cards, as I don't ever do this anymore. It opens doors, and I have a very hard time turning off the switch to the unknown. I was reading someone's palm one day, and they were not being honest with me about their past. I later confirmed all the things I talked about with this lady's mom. I was kind of pissed that she lied, as I thought maybe I was picking up a bad energy in the house. I was relieved, but still mad. That night, I went to bed in this mood. I didn't feel like myself at all, and I thought I took this lady's bad energy home with me. I felt like a monster. That night, I had the scariest, the realest dream I had ever had in my life. In the dream, I am in the girl's house. I'm not reading her palms. I'm reading the demon's palms, and I know in the dream, I'm not afraid, but calm. I know we're talking, but I don't know what about what. It's the strangest thing. I get this feeling of dread. I start praying and saying, let love into your heart. The next thing I know, I'm awake, soaked in sweat, and I smell this sweat. I can't explain it. Maybe it was me. I feel afraid and uneasy the next day. I go to a shop and pick up sage and sage the shit out of myself and the house. I was young, 22 at the time. After that, I didn't read a single person again till 4 years later. Nothing strange happened with that reading. I don't know if it was my mind playing tricks on me, but it was scary. First person I read was a recovering drug addict who at the time was relapsing. Maybe it was just a bad dream, but it was enough for me to rethink the gifts I have. I am still in tune with certain things, just very cautious. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I'm hoping to become an EPP sooner than later. You guys make me laugh and keep every day interesting. I saw my coworkers listening to you guys now, too.
I wonder what the meaning behind the dream was after she read the palm of that girl and found out that there were some things that she wasn't being honest with.
I'd like to hear the details.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it makes a little more sense. But it's interesting just to kind of show, you know, that, you know, the accuracy of what she's doing. So creepy stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, creepy and what's the other word I'd be looking for here? I guess kind of heartwarming, creepy. What's like the good version of creepy?
The good version of creepy,
where you're interacting with paranormal things, but it's a good thing. Like when the brother came back and gave a message, that's not necessarily creepy. It's what word am I looking for?
I think heartwarming is about as good as
you. Is that about as good you're going to get?
I think so.
Anybody has any other suggestions, post it on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's Tony fill in the blank day. I can't think of the right word to use. So thank you for that. Those multiple stories there in that submission. Of course, if you want to write in, the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can also call in at 855-853-4802 to share your stories with us. Thank you, everybody, who's joined us on Facebook here for the last hour and said hi and commented and liked. We greatly appreciate all of that support. So thank you for that. If you like the program, please consider becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person, at ghostpodcast.com. That is what keeps us on the air and keeps this thing alive. So check that out, ghostpodcast.com. There you go. Fun with cameras today.
That was fun.
We'll do a lot more of this as we have, we're accessorizing the room, yeah, if you will, with all sorts of interesting and creepy shit.
Yes.
So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening.